My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Final hour, fist pump time on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean Shreve, Bobby Bell. We got Peyton Russell. We got Carter Freeman getting in the back. We're live. Getting in the back of the room. We're live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube as we try to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. Thank you for being a Tolo. That stands, in case you did not know, for Turn It On, Leave It On. Nick Harris from DallasCowboys.com will join us to recap a testy practice yesterday, the final padded practice in Cali, and Nick Harris was there for it. So he'll join us coming up in 20 minutes.
Chippy. That was the word everybody kept using. It was a chippy practice.
Yes. Let's go around the rest of the National Football League. Sean Payton's latest quarterback project is making some history. Bo Nix is the official starter in Denver, and they're loving him. I want you to go back to your Bo Nix review in your mind, Bobby Bell, because Nix is all the Denver quarterbacks are killing it in the preseason. You got Zach Wilson numbers, Bo Nix, but he's making history in being the first Bronco rookie to start since my boy John Elway. So Sean Payton, and no one has ever started as a rookie for Sean Payton to start off a season either.
Yeah, which I cannot believe that with all the struggles that existed with the Broncos quarterback position post Elway, yeah, that there was never a rookie that started game one.
Insane. Just like the Dwayne Haskins stat, yeah, I gave you the other day.
Yeah, where Haskins, those 2 years he started, he was the back half of the year.
Jerry's beloved Paxton Lynch never started like that, but gotta ease him in. Tom Brady would say gotta ease him in.
Tom Brady. I was not a fan of Nix at all. And maybe proven wrong here if he steps in and he's able to carry things over from the preseason. Bleacher Report had a ranking the other day of the top preseason performers, and he was number one each of the first 2 weeks. Is like he's been the top preseason rookie so far. A lot of what I had in my notes on him, there was very little we could see in the way of like processing, which to me, when you're watching quarterbacks on tape and in college, you need to be able to see them going through progressions and doing a lot of the high level mental processing stuff that they're asked to do when they get to the next level. When that's not present on college tape, more times than not, that's not indicative of, oh, well, he can do it. They're just not asking him to. Usually he can't do it. And so they've set it up to where he's not supposed to do a lot of those things. So I saw limited amounts of that. There was a lot of screen passes. There were a lot of RPOs. There were a lot of simple route concepts that it's like, it looked very, hey, let's make this easy for you.
Has this Broncos tenure so far altered your mind? Because if Choppy was here, he'd be like, oh, the latest project for the genius Sean Payton, who of course has been the object of much Cowboy affection and a lot of head coaching talks. Have you cooled, or did you already cool on Sean Payton as the genius?
I had.
And what would he have to do with Bo Nix to really impress you or blow you away?
I mean, if he turns Nix into a top half of the league quarterback, I'll be impressed. And if he does that, I'm going to give him a ton of credit. And I also have to give Bo Nix a ton of credit for being a better player than I thought he was.
Is he the one who like had the backpack or something, the magic backpack in a meeting?
Yeah, and he's
what did he say with that?
I know what you're talking about. It's the little backpack that he brought in where he had a bunch of weird quotes. He was the one who had the weird meeting with I think it was Washington too, where he had said like he had had an awkward interaction with Washington. He had had another meeting, I think it was with the Falcons, where there was a leak about how like some people in Atlanta thought he was a little bizarre and a little odd. And he's old, man. He turned 25, I think, in February. 24, 25.
So, his backpack was filled with tape, cleats, and a lacrosse ball for exercising.
He's a weirdo, though. Like, a legend. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way. Everybody's weird.
Oh, the nice way.
To quote River Phoenix in Stand By Me, everybody's a little weird. I get that aspect of it. To me, the issues with Bo Nix were more, it took forever for it to click. And even when it clicked, it didn't look as good as it did with some of the other quarterbacks on tape. The mechanics, I didn't think, looked great. And when we talk about the processing and what he was asked to do, if he got past his first read, he looked stuck and looked like he panicked. And so to me, I was like, man, they're going to take away a lot from him, that it's going to be really tough for him at the next level. But, like, I mean, as much as I've dogged on Jaden Daniels and talked about how I wasn't a fan of his, I had Jaden Daniels above Bo Nix. I was not a fan of Bo Nix at all. So if he turns into something significant, that's a big win for Nix and Sean Payton.
If you trust and believe Sauce Gardner, you can already have the New York Football Giants third or fourth this year in the NFC East. This was Sauce searching for words when asked in the presser about practicing against Daniel Jones.
He's a good quarterback. You feel me? I thought I was about to pick him off today. I had a little cloud rip. You know, he had looked at the last minute to try to throw the check down to Wandale. You know, I thought I had to pick, but he kept it. The competitive periods, it was very competitive, man. It was great. Like, I had fun out there today. You know, I don't really know what to say.
Sauce never lacks words.
Yeah.
And so for him to be, great quarterback. I almost picked him off, but he decided not to throw it. And he sounded like he was trying his damnedest not to sound like Jalen Ramsey in that GQ interview a couple years ago, where he just said, that quarterback's trash, that guy's trash. Like, he was working really hard not to just dog the guy.
I got to say, though, and RJ would agree, it's a very RJ Choppy-esque take. Daniel Jones looking so much better with the beard. So much better with the facial hair. Doesn't have a weird jaw that you feel like you need to, like, Mr. Potato Head it back in place. He's got the beard, but hopefully he still stinks it up.
Is there anybody, as long as you fill it out, you're not Peyton, as long as you fill it out, is there anybody who looks worse with a little bit of, like, a beard? I feel like most everybody, the beard is an enhancer for them.
Do you think Carter can grow a beard?
I don't know.
He's saying no. Like, what would Carter look like with a little facial hair,
like a little scruff? I think a shadow at the very least is helpful for most guys.
I agree.
And so it does a lot to it also will help disguise any double chin in some instances. So I'm a fan of the beard. I would not have thought Daniel Jones could pull it off as well as he has, because he looked a little Woody from Toy Story.
All right, I've never enjoyed or liked the Chicago Bears organization. A boring, blasé, non-offensive football team. I don't care for them. I'm really interested and intrigued to watch them with Caleb. And then this story came out yesterday, and I'm trying to decide whether I should absolutely hate them once again. Hard Knocks is basically wiping out cursing in their coverage of the Chicago Bears. The Hard Knocks director told CHGO that the McCaskey family does not want to be associated with profanity. So Hard Knocks is not airing it. Quote, I'll be honest, this team curses much less than any other team I've been around, but it is out of respect for the McCaskey family. It's something that they don't do and wouldn't want to.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
To see, so it's kind of been a decision that was made out of respect for them, letting us in their house and wanting to be respectful to them. Does this deserve refreshing praise on the Frank and the Franco injury attorney text line that the McCaskies don't want their players to curse and they do not want it aired on Hard Knocks? Are you rolling your eyes or saying, you know what? This is kind of nice. I need to know.
If that's them and that's really who they are, and I'm trying to make gymnastics. If it just show me the way the players are talking. I want to know how they're talking.
Yep.
Like, I understand if you don't like it and don't consume it. Okay, don't, like I would say with any other like R-rated movie or something, don't watch it then. Like, I want to hear the unedited, unvarnished look at how are they talking about practice? How are they approaching things? How frustrated are they? Like, let me see all that stuff. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. But to make editorial decisions based on that, I feel like people would kill Jerry if there was a report that said Jerry wanted things presented in a certain way on Hard Knocks and they went ahead and agreed to do it that way. I think people would lose their minds.
Did you cover Matt Eberflus closely?
No, he was gone after the time that I had really started, but I know I'm familiar enough with his time here.
Like, I'm wondering if, would the McCaskies make hires based on profanity?
Eberflus is not one to skip on profanities.
He does not skip.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I was like, are the McCaskies Stone Age? Does this explain in part why they suck? Because they think that John Wooden is just going to get resurrected all of a sudden? Or I'm trying to think of... Who do you think is another coach? Tony Dungy? Probably not a big cursor.
No, Dungy's not. I don't think Lovey is.
Joe Gibbs, I don't think was. Very religious. So I don't know. I just saw that and I was like, whoa.
903. Good for HBO. Nobody wants to effing listen to that bull S. So there you go.
Wait, did they write bull S?
They wrote the whole word out. Right. I just couldn't say it.
Caleb Williams on Pardon My Take says, if you make fun of my nails like Bobby, get used to it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it this year. So
yeah. Oh, you are?
Yeah, I just haven't done it for... I try to
love
do it for games, all of, like, you know, regular season, things like that, playoffs. Also, because I've been doing it for so long now, I'm trying to, like, make sure I can do it for games because I'll run out of ideas.
So what should I say to people? Just being like, mind your own business?
I mean...
Should I do it for games?
I mean, I think Prince painted his nails, right?
Yeah, that's facts. Okay.
Are you going to put the F word on there?
I will not be doing that.
Roger Goodell would have, he would have some things to say.
Yeah, he'd have some things to say. I'm trying to keep, you know, good-spirited things on my nails.
But it fires you up, right?
It does fire me up.
All right, so that's the answer I'm going to say. It fires you up.
I can use other stuff that'll fire me up.
Get used to it, Bobby. Jared Sandler probably already has his nails painted in support of Caleb, who's going to be doing it weekly.
Yeah. That's good for Caleb.
This is being told to me from someone who I think he's trying to be proven right that he called Caleb years ago while at Oklahoma. I've heard it from a couple different people. If you watch some Caleb Williams content off the field, all this diva stuff is being overblown. I have not watched like a 30-minute sit-down interview that he's done. I probably need to and should. But that is what some people say to me. They're like, you watch him off the field, he's not what he's being made out to be by the media. Have you seen it or heard it?
Depends on what aspect of you're talking about him being.
Is he going to be a headache? Is he going to be a diva? Is he going to be a problem?
Potentially.
What a hardcore answer.
No, I'm saying that it's one of those things where he had issues.
Maybe.
Like his whole discussion there of like, yeah, I'm going to fall in line. I'm not going to put stuff on my nails that the league doesn't like. That's not the energy he had at USC. So that's what I'm saying. If this has evolved
and
changed.
But have you watched him in interview settings?
Yes. Okay. And no, I think that there's enough questions. The stuff that I have questions about are more about how he interacts with teammates, less than his own bravado. And so, but to me, there's, yeah, look, I good for him.
Here we go, fake belt.
If you look right, good, enough, feel good. Yeah. Like, I'm not surprised that the first story we heard about his leadership was, guys, this place is filthy and we need to clean it up. And it makes sense.
The Cincinnati Bengals were apparently having problems with Anthony Richardson during Bengals-Colts practices. I've never heard anything negative about Anthony Richardson. Everyone loves him, but Bengals, they said he was just looking to run. That's it. They're putting the Colts offense on blast. Geno Stone, Bengals safety, quote, he's just throwing to spots. He doesn't see his receivers. Tackle B.J. Hill. Throw the ball, bro. Cam Britt Taylor, corner. Is that all he does is run? They're saying these things out loud about and to Anthony Richardson and the Colts offense.
When Diggs had that moment last year at practice where he said, shut your B.A. up to Dak Prescott, that was over getting pissed off that Dak ran instead of throwing the football.
Oh.
And so, like, a lot of people are like, dude, what are we doing here? Like, this is a practice setting where we're trying to like, work on some stuff. Stop scrambling. Stop running. What are you doing? So, yeah, I could see that pissing some people off.
All right, let's get the scouting report on new tackle. Linval Joseph, how chippy did it get? Is Tyler Guyton okay? And is Terrence Steele really having his best camp ever as a Cowboy? Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com from Oxnard after this. The KMC Masterpiece will be live from Specs today, right around the corner. 9500 North Central Expressway from 10 to 2. Go check out that fancy wine room I was talking about. It's a great liquor store.
I wouldn't have shouted them out after Hagee was taking shots at you for just trying to clarify where it was yesterday.
Well, Spittle made me.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, I would not have. Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, joins us, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Good morning, Nick. Your scouting report and thoughts on new defensive tackle Linval Joseph.
Yeah, absolutely. The Cowboys looking to close in on a deal with Linval Joseph over the course of the next few days, but probably one of the worst kept secrets, I think, around the team, I think, going into the season. But it's an experience at the one tech position that this team needed. You know, Mozzie Smith, whether, you know, you believe in what he can bring in his second year or you don't believe it, Linval Joseph, he brings that experience. Yes, he is 36, but he has that 330-pound frame. And while he might not be what he was when he was a two-time Pro Bowler under Mike Zimmer back in his days in Minnesota, he can still clog running lanes, and that's exactly what this defense needs. I think it just speaks once again to, you know, if Mike Zimmer and needs some help on that defense and he needs a guy that can help get in there and clog up some running lanes, the front office is going to go out there and get a guy for him. So a lot of help added on the defensive line over the course of training camp. Linval Joseph, just another point to that.
Week one against the Cleveland Browns, when this all gets finalized, done, like we assume it will, you're starting one technique. Is it Mozzie Smith or Linval Joseph?
Yeah, I would probably lean towards Linval Joseph. Since you're saying starting, I guess are they running on first down? And if that's the case, I'm gonna take Linval Joseph there.
Now, is that any sort of an indictment though on Mozzie Smith? Like when you mentioned there, you say depending on if you believe in Mozzie Smith or don't believe in Mozzie Smith, do you view this as any sort of an indictment on him, or more just, hey, we're addressing depth here?
I don't think it's necessarily an indictment, but I do think it speaks to what he brought in camp at the very least. You know, I do think that there is a reason that this wasn't done until after camp was done, give Mozzie Smith that full opportunity. But I mean, you look at the depth, right? And let's just say, you know, Mozzie Smith, the coaching staff in the front office do still believe in him. If he were to go down, the backup one tech, you're looking at that situation are two rookies and Justin Rogers, seventh round pick, and Denzel Dax, an undrafted free agent. So I think it's a little bit of both. Indictment, maybe. I can see leaning close to that. But for me, I think it's just a depth thing. I think Linval Joseph also just brings veteran experience. And I think the more you can get on that defensive line right now to that point, you go ahead and grab.
Was it a chippy practice to end things yesterday with Tyler Guyton having to leave the field?
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds precautionary with Tyler Guyton just battling a sore knee yesterday. So it doesn't sound like there's anything too extensive. We'll hear more to his game status going into the weekend today from Mike McCarthy. But yeah, it sounds like Jake Ferguson, Donovan Wilson kind of got into it towards the end of practice yesterday. Jake Ferguson threw a stiff arm that Donovan Wilson took exception to. Yeah, it was a little bit of chippiness. It's funny, I guess we didn't really see a big-time scuffle last year until the final padded practice, and then they do it once again yesterday. So, yeah, just kind of keeping to tradition, maybe.
Nick Harris from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, so Oxnard wrapping up, breaking camp today. Let's take a look at some of your Oxnard Award winners. I got five categories for you here. We ran through these with Broadus the other day on his last day. From Oxnard, when you were out there for those several weeks, best player that you saw consistently during practice?
Best player consistently. I'd probably have to go Dak Prescott. I mean, you look at what he was dealt going into the camp and what he came out with. I thought he had a really strong camp. Didn't have CDE, obviously, for the entirety of camp. Brandon Cooks was out for, I guess, we're approaching about a week now. He got all these receivers involved. He got multiple tight ends involved. He kept the ball clean for the most part, even compared to just last year whenever he did have CD. I'd have to go Dak there. I think he had a really strong camp.
The most disappointing player for you based on your own expectations for what you wanted to see from them?
Most disappointing? I'll give you one on each side of the ball. I expected a little bit more from Trey Lance just over the course of, you know, having a year to develop. I expected certain things to his game to see some improvement, more so the consistency in the pocket and just trying to find, you know, some composure in the pocket as well. Didn't really see that throughout the entire course of camp. And then on the defensive side of the ball, would have liked to have seen more from Mozzie Smith as well. I guess that kind of speaks more to development too. And maybe that's me giving an indictment at the one tech position, but I would probably go with those two guys.
Who was the most surprising player in a good way? A guy who kind of, you know, caught your eye that, wow, I was not expecting him to look this good out here.
I'll go Austin Richards. You know, I think as camp went on, he continuously showed that, hey, I can play inside. I can play outside. You know, if we have depth issues, I can kind of be that guy that can go inside and out, play on either side of the line. You know, I think coming out of last season, I was just kind of viewing him as another one of those bodies. But I think going into the year now, I think he's proving to be a reliable depth option.
Assuming really quickly before we go to these last two, assuming Guyton and Steele are healthy and they're your tackles starting week one, who is the swing guy? Is it Richards, or is that more likely to be somebody like Ball or Willetsko? If they make the team, who ends up being the swing tackle while Adoga's out?
Yeah, I think I lean towards Austin Richards. Now, while me personally, I believe Richards has been playing better at guard. I think Richards has shown more consistency as that swing guy. They've been putting Josh Ball on the right side of that offensive line almost the entirety of camp, right up until that Udoka injury. And then that's when we've seen him kind of slide to the left side a little bit as well. And while I do think Ball can do that, I think you lean towards the youth and you go towards Austin Richards.
Nick Harris from DallasCowboys.com going through his Oxnard Awards with us. Most inconsistent, not poorest, but the guy who, man, it was really good some days and then it was really bad and it was never consistent.
I'll probably go with TJ Bass. TJ Bass was one that I think I maybe expected a little bit more from in Oxnard. You look at the depth of that and interior, and you know, I expected him to kind of have a consistent camp day after day, but it felt like some days we'd look up and be like, all right, TJ Bass, like he looks pretty good today. And then other days it's like, so he was the best rookie last year. And so I would probably lean towards TJ Bass.
All right. And then last one for you here. The most exciting player, the guy who just gave you the most frequent highlight reel type of plays out there at practice.
Yeah, I'll give you one on each side of the ball again here. I'll go Jalen Tolbert on offense, just having those increased opportunities at camp in the absence of CeeDee Lamb. He really shined with those. You could tell that him and Dak put in a lot of work this offseason, so I'm excited going into the year, seeing what he can bring. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I'll probably have to go with Jordan Lewis, man. He was all over the place throughout camp from start to finish. He was one that kind of jumped to mind whenever you mentioned most consistent. I think he's a guy that I think is going to have a really good year as long as he can stay healthy.
Is this a new Deep Blue feature documentary that you guys have coming out, and were you involved in it?
Yeah, really excited about this, and I appreciate you asking, man. Marion Barber, obviously a lot of Cowboys fans grew an affection to back in the 2000s, and had the opportunity to write and conduct the interviews on this piece. Super excited about this piece coming out tonight. Barber, Do What You Love. It'll be streamed live on Twitter, YouTube. It'll be on CBS 11 as well. Super excited for the world to see it, man. We traveled to Minnesota. We traveled to Austin. We traveled to Oklahoma. We traveled almost all over the country to conduct interviews for this over the course of the last 8 months. And I got to give a shout out to our team, Alex Lilly, Caden Gates, and Ambar Garcia. Here at training camp, they have been grinding every single day, editing this and trying to get this done here in the 11th hour. So really excited to share this with everybody tonight. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you'll learn a lot too.
Just as we're wrapping up here, as you leave camp or as they depart from Oxnard, the status currently on what seems to be really the only true starting battle left at center, Cooper Beebe, Brock Hoffman, how are you handicapping that right now?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Cooper Beebe. And, it's so crazy to say because it felt like after, you know, that first week and a half of camp, or especially like when you guys were there, it felt like, you know, Brock Hoffman had just created such a gap that, you know, yes, Cooper Beebe, he's getting reps, but it doesn't necessarily look like he'll catch up in time to be a starting caliber center by week one. Well, he is closing that gap and probably taking the edge a lot quicker than I expected. And I think that speaks to, you know, his ability, not only his ability to play on the field, but his ability to learn as well on the job. I think he's done a really great job with it, but I think it'll come down to, you know, the evaluation out of this final preseason game. But Cooper Beebe's looked fantastic. And while Brock Hoffman has been consistent, he's had some ups, he's had some downs, don't get me wrong. I think if you look at it and you want a guy in there that has the youth that can really use the reps over the course of those first 6 weeks and that'll help prepare him in December a lot better, then I think you'd take Cooper Beebe in that situation.
What was the first Texas thing you were dying to do or eat when you came back home from California?
Yeah, I'll tell you this, man. I was rolling through Wichita Falls at about 1 a.m. last night, and I almost called it for the night, and then I remember Whataburger existed, and I was like, oh yeah, and I got my second wind and I finished it. So it was a pretty good number one that I had at about 1:30 a.m. in Wichita Falls.
That Whataburger, it's good stuff. They come up here, they bring us our things. We're big fans of Whataburger here at 105.3 Fan. I'm glad you survived the little apartment fire or whatever is there. I know it blocked you in. I know fire trucks blocked you in from leaving as quickly as you wanted, but ultimately safe and sound.
Yeah. That was probably the craziest camp moment we had all year. And that was as soon as I was trying to leave, of course. But yeah, it was wild because I had literally just loaded my last suitcase and I hear the fire alarms going off across the way. And then I smell something. So I look out the window and then there's just huge smoke clouds, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. And then right at about that time, I see the fire trucks pulling in and they're blocking in my car, and I'm just like, all right, so this is going to be another couple hours.
great job from Oxnard. We're off to a great start. We're looking forward to it throughout the entire season. And did you eat a Dodger dog?
Oh yeah, 100%, definitely got that in. It was
worth the hype.
You know, Dodger dog, say that again.
Was it worth the hype?
It was all right. I'll say this. A Dodger dog and a drink, and it was actually two Dodger dogs and two drinks, came out to $58.
Dang!
So I don't know if it was that good. So maybe we'll circle back next year whenever maybe inflation comes down a little bit.
Thank you, Nick. Welcome back home. Great job. No politics.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Nick Harris brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Let's get liquored up with the KMC Masterpiece next.
2-1 the count. Here's the pitch. And that ball is hit back up the middle. Base knock for Wyatt Langford. Coming in to score is Ezekiel Duran. Langford with the walk-off hit. And the Rangers win it by the final score of 1-0. They take their first series win since late July. And they'll go on the road with a W.
Hixie with the call. Wyatt with another walk-off. Let's crosstalk with a KMC Masterpiece. I'm hoping that Corey Majors treats today like Brian Broaddus treats a G-Bag remote because they are live on the road. Corey, where are you?
We are at Specs right off of Walnut Hill and 75 Central Expressway, if you will, 9500 Central North Central Expressway. Mike would say where the old Toys R Us was.
Yeah, I'm 99% sure this used to be a Toys R Us like 15 years ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right about that, too. And it's right next to Dave & Buster's, too. So right here at this Specs, we're inside. The deli's right behind us. The whiskey's right in front of us. Come by and get some Sagamore Spirit Rye whiskey. You will not be disappointed.
Those are some nice jugs you got in front of you, Corey.
Thank
what
you
is
very
that?
Much. Oh, yeah.
Jugs.
The Dave & Buster's aspect is tripping me out just a little bit because I just watched that Steve McNair Untold.
Oh.
And that's where he met that gal.
Is it good?
Dave & Buster's. Not really. It's mediocre.
The whiskey's great.
It's mediocre at best. They leave out a huge part of the story and why that's problematic. Then in the last, I don't know, 8 minutes, they're like, or this other thing, and they're like, well, we're done.
Really?
Yeah, and so it just feels like the best part, they're like, nah, let's not go into that. Let's go into
because they didn't have enough
the
proof.
Less
you think they didn't have
parts.
Enough proof to like
I mean, some of the talking heads they had, I think, would have been fascinating to go back and forth. But
do you think they knew how proof works? Or
no, they did not.
How did he?
It was mediocre at best.
How did he pass away again, Kevin?
Shot in the chest.
Murder suicide, allegedly.
Murder suicide.
It was his. The story went. It was his former mistress or his current mistress, and he was asleep on the couch. Shot him in the chest.
One of his current mistresses.
Yeah, and that she killed him while he was sleeping on the couch, and then she took her own life. Is how the story has gone for years.
This is like hour long. Someone was.
It's an hour long. It's on
this.
Netflix. I had just added it to my watch list 2 days ago, and I hadn't gotten a chance to see it yet. But now you're telling me it's not even good.
Look, it's. I thought it was disappointing. It will entertain you because it's about, like, you know, people that we remember covering and what a huge deal Steve McNair was in the football world. So it's, like, entertaining enough. I just thought it was disappointing because it felt like they could have tagged another half an hour on that and really, like, fleshed out another thing that they were interested in that was maybe the most interesting part of the documentary.
What's coming up on the show, Corey?
Guys, there are a lot of Cowboys fans who believe that Zeke is going to be back this year. Like, that's what we're seeing is there are a lot of people that are arguing with us about this.
So I heard you guys talking about this yesterday on the ride home. And I have to say, I was like, are you guys making up text messages? Are you making up tweets? Where are you getting anyone that is a Zeke Elliott advocate or trying to pretend like he's going to be really, really good? Where are you all getting this?
Barry Fish?
Actually, it wasn't Barry Fish.
I'm really glad that you brought that up because, first of all, 877-881-1053 on the fan text, a lot of this stuff comes in. But then the other thing that has started that I really want to talk about as well is when we bring up Pro Football Focus or ESPN ranked the Cowboys running back room, which is obviously led by Zeke, as dead last in the NFL. People are like, we get it. You hate Zeke. And I'm like, How is that what you take from that? And so I just kind of wanted to get people's take on, like, is that considered hate? Like, I'm sure your last guest would have thought it was super hate and a smear campaign. But I just don't get why just reporting what another website is saying is considered hate.
Kevin, let me teach you a lesson here, okay? And it's going to make you money.
Yeah, listen up. Journalism lesson coming in.
No, it's a money lesson.
Y'all just had your journalism guest on.
Damn, son. This is where you have to bet people and take advantage of their homerism. You have to say, all right, put money on the line.
Yes.
That the doubt Zeke Elliott will finish with this amount of yards rushing, and you pick three people or five people and say $100 a piece that Zeke rushes for 1,000 yards or 800. And then you take their money and you take advantage of them and you put it in your pocket. That's what you do.
And I think that's what I'm going to pitch out, because somebody goes,
"What?
I'm keeping receipts, so what's it going to take?" And in my mind, I'm like, 1,000 yards with 4 yards per carry.
Just 1,000 yards?
Exactly.
Wow.
Just 1,000 yards with 4 yards per carry.
No, if Zeke has 800 yards, I'll consider that a great achievement and accomplishment.
I would bet somebody $1,000 he doesn't rush for 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah. See? There you go, Mikey.
No doubt those bets will come in.
That's what you got to do. You got to take advantage.
The thing is like, they know where I'm at. I don't know who they are.
That's
the problem. That's the tough thing about betting. You know, I'd have
Sean, did you ever collect from all those Tolos that you bet against? I know that happened a while back.
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. You let him off the hook, right? That's what it was. You gave him a pass. Nice of him.
A 1,000 yards would be 59 yards a game if he played every game.
It's not happening.
4 yards per carry, though, would be 250 carries minimum, which would be a lot. Okay. It would be concerning,
I think.
All
right, so if he had how many yards, you'd be as low as you can take it, Bobby. If Zeke had how many yards, you'd be like, oh, my God, no way.
Anything?
700?
Anything that's 2.1 yards per carry or higher, anything that's more than him just falling forward, his 6 feet tall,
give me
to
a
get
number.
2 yards.
Give me a number.
No, okay. If he has 800 yards, I'm gonna be impressed.
Right, he had 876 in 2022 here.
How many carries?
231. 3.8 a carry, and he had 642 yards last year. So I don't know. Maybe 800 is not insane.
800, depending on how much work they're going to give him. I don't think he gets 200 carries this year. If he gets 200 carries, I will be...
Who else is getting the carries?
Dowdle and whoever they're going to trade for.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought we all came to an agreement a couple years ago that what we were saying about Zeke's ability, we knew it was done and gone. I thought that we all agreed, just like we've agreed... This would be like Randy Gregory re-signing here and then people saying, oh, why are you hating on Randy Gregory? He's going to have 14 sacks. I think we've all reached an agreement. Bobby took a big fat L on this, and I had a W, so I have to point that out, that Randy Gregory was what he was, an absolute disappointment, especially at the very end. And we've all agreed. Now that Randy left, everyone's like, you bum, Randy Gregory, you pothead, blah, blah, blah.
Not me.
But then he would re-sign, and people are like, oh, my gosh, 12, 14 sacks for Randy Gregory. That's what this reminds me of.
And that's why I kind of want to open it up, too. If you are one of those Zeke believers, like, I want to know why. Because I really don't like the idea of, I don't think this aspect of the team is going to be good, so you're a hater. I think that's absurd. I know y'all, we enjoy a website that peddles that a lot, but I think that that is absolutely absurd.
I'm trying to figure it out, too.
Yeah, Bob. Which website was that? I couldn't figure it out.
Oh, you know, hit the Odyssey rewind button.
All right. I don't know still, but I look forward to figuring it out.
During Baseball Nuggets today, Mike is going to stick to baseball because a lot of people are like, hey, man, you've been doing football nuggets a lot. And he's going to break down some Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter stuff today. So get excited about that because that's going to be fun.
Mikey, I have a topic for you.
Go.
Very proud of myself during the expressway. We even put Jared Sandler on. Is there Ranger anger this season from the fans, or are we kind of just giving a pass because they won the title? It's not a diehard baseball town. I feel like, in an East Coast market, and I'm not saying that we should. I'm just asking, like, are you surprised at a lack of Ranger fan anger post-championship? Have you felt that being out there? And covering them the way that you do, and you guys are also at the stadium. If this was a Dallas Cowboys season and they won the championship, and they were what would you equate this to? 7 and
yeah, like at this point in the season,
nine,
6 and 8,
6 and 8, we'd be furious, right? We'd be mad. How can you do this? You're the champions. Represent, defend. I'm not feeling that. What do you think?
You're right, but. I have to be careful here.
Because you're sure?
People, yeah. People that
Rob to Southwest
are visiting teams that are covering the other team. They are surprised at the lack of energy in the building at all times.
Yes.
No matter what year it is. So I don't think that you're going to find a lot of booing or people really mad, because it is arguably the most casual baseball place to go to. You're never going to get booed being a Texas Ranger. I've only heard booing one time all year throughout this whole season. There's only been one time all year, and it was a fly ball to shallow right field.
Yep.
That nobody got to, and that's the only – it doesn't matter how you pitch. It doesn't matter how you hit. It doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter. It is a – we're going there to be in air conditioning and casually have conversation while a baseball game is going on, and it doesn't matter the opponent. It doesn't matter the score. It doesn't matter if there's 38,000 people there or 20,000 people there. It is just a nice environment to be at.
Yeah.
So – there's not, if they next year win 95 games, it's not going to be, it'll be exciting for us. It'll be exciting that the team is great. Will it be exciting for the fan base that they're going to now show this energy that a lot of other buildings show? No. If next year they lose 95 games, is there going to be a lot of booing and a lot of, I can't believe this? No, there's not. It is a very casual kind of enjoyable place to go to and grab some awesome Hurtado's barbecue or whatever else you're grabbing and go for 7-8 innings and then casually leave.
I was more angry as a Rangers fan. I was more angry the year after 2011. 2012 was a baseball team that made me more angry than this one. This one, I'm just kind of like, okay, regression to the mean and some bad luck. 2012 was like, you should have been, you should have won that division. You should have finally realized everything in 2012. There were so many things about the 2012 team that actually was a 90-win team or a 93-win team or whatever they were. That team made me much more angry than this one does.
Corey, you...
I think that's fair.
I would think that your emotions would be the highest on the show towards a disappointing season like this, or are you giving a championship pass?
I'm one of those that kind of... when we trade away players to make another team great, like trade them to the Yankees and just continue to act like the farm system, that pisses me off.
Yeah.
But this just kind of just makes me sad more than mad.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, you know, and this is, Sean, this is kind of the restaurant theory, right? If you go to a restaurant and have a bad experience, do you leave a note that says, hey, this stunk? Do you leave a thing on the board? Or do you just never go back again?
Right.
And that's kind of where I feel Rangers fans are right now. Instead of saying anything about it, they're just like, you know what? If that's how you're going to treat us and y'all aren't going to come back and really try to do it, we're going to have some apathy towards you. And that's where Ray Davis would probably see it the most. So that's where I am, is I'm just kind of – I'm not going to boo. Right? That's right. I'm not mad about it. I'm just sad that they didn't do better this year.
See, I'm not even – I don't fault or think of the front office not trying with this. Now, I know the rumors and things behind the scenes, and I think this offseason will be telling, but I'm not mad at the front office for failing to put what should have been a better – like, if you're going to have the 2024 recap, the word, for the Texas Rangers season, I think I'd agree with Jared that the word would be underperformed versus – talentless or quit or something else.
It
just feels like a lot of guys didn't play as well as they should have. I'm not blaming the front office hardcore yet. Anyway, those
are
my thoughts.
They actually did what Mark Cuban refused to do when the Mavericks won their
championship. Put on a loose t-shirt.
He was like, I don't think it's good enough. And so he's like, I'm going to deconstruct this team to make a new team. And you're like, well, let them bring back Tyson Chandler, bring back these guys, and let's see if they can. They just proved they could. And so,
well, that was brilliant,
I think,
Mark.
Shockingly, the Rangers won the World Series last year. And so they're like, well, let's pretty much bring it back and see if they can do it again. And now I do think this offseason, with limited budget, I do think there's going to be three new starting players in the lineup, if not four. I think that there's going to be a lot of differences on the team next year, because now you're going to look at most likely a team that gets close to 90 losses, and so you can kind of move a lot of things around when you have a season like that.
All right, Specs is the location for the KMC Masterpiece.
Low price, amazing.
Here's to you.
Here's to savings.
Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.